We often experience Birkas Kohanim as a rare mitzvah. Ashkenazim who live in Chutz Laaretz, so this is a yontif treat. Baruch Hashem, now we have the schus to spend the summer in Eretz Yisrael. So even the Ashkenazim among us now get to Duchen every day. And it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to perform Duchen. It's an opportunity also to take some time to appreciate what it is that we do. What it is we're doing, why we're doing it, and also to understand how to do it properly. But maybe by way of introduction, is to notice a fascinating riddle, a pattern, that there are many mitzvahs that we do in shul. Shul is not only a place for formerly the mitzvah of tefillah, which is saying Shema Esrei, right? There are many mitzvahs that we fulfill in shul. We fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema in shul, Kriya Satorah, often other types of Talmud Torah, Netilas Lulav, many mitzvahs that we do in shul. However, there are very few mitzvahs we do within tefillah, within the context of Shemona Esrei itself. All those mitzvahs I just mentioned happen before or after. We say Kriya Shema before tefillah. We say Hallel and Sheik Lulav and Lane after tefillah. But we don't usually interrupt the tefillah, the Shemona, in the language of Chazal, tefillah specifically Shemona Esrei, we don't usually interrupt the Shemona Esrei itself with other mitzvahs. That's very rare. It really happens only two times. What are the two mitzvahs that we do within the Shemona Esrei itself?
Shofar and
Birkas Kohanim. So, which is, when you stop to think about it, it's really surprising. So the Rav has a famous maracha, Salvation has a famous maracha, not for now, but that's one of the many indications that shofar is not only a mitzvah, but it's actually a form of tefillah. It's like a wordless tefillah. We usually daven with words, sometimes they just cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lot to say about that, and that's reflected in many of the unique halachas of shofar, and in particular the fact that shofar has a prominent place within the Shemona Esrei, within Chazal Hashatz itself. And of course, like you said, the other mitzvah that we fulfill within the Shemona Esrei is Birkas Kohanim. We don't duchen after, we duchen in the middle. So in part that captures the fact that, like shofar, Birkas Kohanim itself is a form of tefillah. Rav Shechter quotes, I believe, from the Gra, formulation, a way of thinking about it, that a bracha in general, a bracha is what is a bracha? Give someone a bracha. So a bracha is a tefillah, but it's just grammatically different. Usually in tefillah, Hashem is in the second person. And the person about whom I'm davening is in the third person. Usually I say, Hashem, please heal her. Kel narafa nala. Hashem, please heal her. That's a typical Musach of tefillah. Bracha is a tefillah that's grammatically reversed. Instead of addressing myself to Hashem about him or her, I address myself to the person and talk about how HaKadosh Baruch will help you. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. May Hashem bless you. May Hashem watch over you. So it's a tefillah, but a tefillah grammatically addressing itself to the person. So we begin to understand why Birkas Kohanim finds its home within Shemona Esrei itself, because Birkas Kohanim itself is a tefillah, phrased differently, but a bracha is a tefillah. And there's more. The Gemara of the course of the fourth parak of Brachas, which is the first of the two parakim of Brachas dedicated to tefillah, the first three parakim about Shemona Esrei, about Shema primarily, and the fourth and fifth parakim about tefillah. So there's a fascinating tension or a pair of perspectives on tefillah that already appears in the very first amud of the fourth parak, Brachas Chavav Amun Alf, and then it recurs again in the following dapim. The Gemara point said, on the one hand, on the other hand, tefillah Shemona Esrei has a formal aspect to it, a very structured aspect to it. It's connected korban. Karbanos have a lot of dinim, when and how. Huh? And at the same time, the Gemara points out, tefillah is also rachmi. Tefillah is a loving expression, a reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, spending time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for compassion. So tefillah has a very formal, carbon-oriented aspect to it, and tefillah has sort of a more fluid, conversational relationship. You know, I'm so to speak, sitting down for coffee with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that has a lot of it plays itself out in a number of different ways in Hilchos Tefillah. There is also as well a parallel idea in Birkas Kohanim. This is sort of another layer of the Duchening Tefillah connection. Not only that Duchening is a form of Tefillah, but again, as a bracha, it's phrased differently, and that Duchening appears, you know, within, we fulfill Duchening within the context of Shemesh. Duchening is directly connected to Karbanos. Duchening appears twice in Chumash, once in Parsha Shmini, and then once more famously in Parsha Naso. So in Parsha Shmini, there's a reference to Aaron giving a bracha, which most likely either is Duchening or at least teaches us something about Duchening. Aaron comes off the Mizbeach, done with what he was doing for, at that point with the carbon. And v'yisa Aaron is yadav al amvay varchim. But Yehirat, he comes off, he steps away from the carbon, he picks up his hands, and he gives a bracha to Klal Yisrael. So there's a direct connection. We'll come back to in a moment how that plays out practically, but a direct statement that the bracha, the bracha of the Kohen is supposed to be in the context of karbanos. And then even looking at the psukim that we're more familiar with, Kosev Arfas B'nei Yisrael Amor Lahem. That's the way the Torah describes, introduces the three psukim that the Kohen actually says, Yerechecha Ya'er Nisa. Kosev Arfas B'nei Yisrael, so you should bless the Jewish people, Amor Lahem, say to them. So the Gemara in Sota, the primary sugi in the Bavli of Birkas Kohanim, there's a little bit in Megillah and elsewhere, the primary sugi is 2.5 blot in the seventh parak of Sota. Kedai is a Kohen to Kedai for all Jews to learn all Shas. And Sota is a beautiful Mezefta. There are Baruch Hashem, many beautiful Mezeftas. There's a whole Shas full of beautiful Mezeftas. But as a Kohen, there's something particularly poignant about spending some time in those 2.5 blot. Masecha, so it's a very, very pretty blot. And the Gemara derives a lot of dinim from two phrases in that pasuk in terms of what the Torah is giving you two different descriptions of duchening, and they're once again sort of a tension. Kosev aruchu, this is how you say the bracha. The Gemara derives from that there are certain very specific ways that duchening has to be carried out, exactly like this. On the other hand, amor lahem, the pasuk would have made sense without that phrase. Kosev aruchu is b'nei Yisrael, v'racha shem v'shemecha. Why the Torah say, this is how you give the bracha? Say to them. Well, obviously, you're saying to them, you're saying the bracha. So the Gemara says, no, but at the same time, it's meant to be a conversation, not a dialogue, it's a monologue, but you're talking to someone. I'm not just talking to the walls, I'm talking to the audience. So what does this mean? So that they're also, you have the, again, you have number one, you have the direct connection to Karban Shmini, and in Nasa, Parshas Nasa, you have the specific structured Kosev Aruch Hu, at the same time with the more conversational Amar Lehem. So let's, with these concepts in mind, let's talk practically about some of the dinim of duchening. And we're going to see that they flow from this background. We're not going to discuss every single dinim of duchening, but let's talk about some of the dinim. Let's talk about some of the foundational dinim that come up often in terms of duchening itself, and then we'll try to walk through the process. In terms of duchening itself, the actual mitzvah d'oraisa of Birkas Kohanim, let's highlight 4 points in terms of how you go about it. So Kosev Aruch Hu as B'nei Yisrael, so that means it has to be done in a specific way. That's why the mitzvos of speech, the verbal mitzvos, the mitzvos of saying things, the opening mission of the seventh parak of Sota, and this is why Birkas Kohanim is in Sota, the opening mission of the seventh parak of Sota has a long list of verbal mitzvos and divides them into those that can be said in translation versus those that must be said in Hebrew. So, ideally, we say Shemon Esrei in Hebrew, and we say Kriya Shema in Hebrew, we say Birkas Hamazon in Hebrew, but strictly speaking, you can say them in translation also. It has to be a good, accurate translation, but you absolutely can. If that works better for you, it's okay. So say a bench in English. Say Shemon Esrei in English. Say Kriya Shema in English. Stories of the Briskerov having difficulty trying to get the pronunciation of a particular word in the Kriya Shema, right? The Briskerov was very, very medactic on pronunciation of the words of Kriya Shema. He was having trouble with the word Asev, and he felt like he kept not getting it right, and then finally just said Groz. Because in Yiddish, Asev is Groz. It can be able to say Kriya Shema in translation. And so there are a number, most of the familiar verbal mitzvahs, strictly speaking, you can be yotzei translation. Duchening is an exception. You cannot be yotzei Birkat Kohen in any language other than Hebrew. Why? Kos Adorfo. That's the way you say it. It has to be exactly as presented in Chumash, those 15 Hebrew words. At the same time, Amor Lehem, you're saying it to them. So you're saying it to them, it's not just a formal act, so that gives rise to several dinim. Let's talk about two of them. One is, some of you see my lips moving, but if you're sitting more than a couple of away, you have no idea what I'm saying. If I'm speaking to you, even though I'm doing most of the talking here, if I'm speaking to you, it means you can hear me. So the Gemara says, Amor Lahem, that extra phrase, say it to them, means it needs to be v'kol rum. The Kohanim aren't just reciting the Birkas Kohanim to themselves. They're saying it to the audience. So you need to make sure, you have to say it out loud. How loud is loud? So most likely, unlike by the mitzvah Mikra Bikurim, unlike the mitzvah of Seinah Rami Ovidavi, when a farmer presents his Bikurim based on Mikdash, there's no official shear of how many decibels loud is. It's a question of how big the room is. Right? So here we're in a cozier room here, around a few tables. So my voice is moderate, loud enough that you can hear me. If we were in a big lecture hall, we were in a big base medrash with a couple hundred people, then obviously either I would use a microphone or I would project much more. The same is true for Birkas Kohanim. So if you're in a small shul and people aren't so far away, so not as loud. If you're in an enormous sanctuary and there are people 100 feet away from you, so you need to project loud enough that they can hear. You don't have to yell, but make sure that people in the back of shul can hear you. So that's one din of Amor Lahem, is a kol rum. Another din of Amor Lahem is, if I were to give the shir like this, taking in the great view of Harei Yehuda at the window, you would think it's really strange because I'm not talking to you. Right? So it needs to be panim keneged panim, the Gemara says. The panim have to be facing the audience, even though in a certain level it's a greater degree of kavod for the Aron Kodesh, to be facing the Aron Kodesh and not to stand up by the Aron Kodesh giving it your back, okay. And that, but at the same time, the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim, the mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim, requires that you speak to the audience. So you need to face the audience. There are some Rishonim, and that includes Rashi, who indicate that it's a two-way street. Now you have to face the audience, but the audience has to face you. And that, a chavrusa of mine, Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, suggested many years ago, that may plug into a famous discussion of Kiva Eger has based on more obscure Rishonim, like the Sefer Haredim, whether the mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim is only the Kohen's mitzvah to give the bracha, or is even the audience's mitzvah, lehisbarech. They also have a non-Kohen mitzvah to receive the bracha. That's perhaps reflected in Rashi, who says, Panim keneged panim is a two-way street. We face them, and they face us. Either way, certainly it's a mitzvah on the Kohanim to give the bracha, and certainly the Kohanim have to face the people. Pashtus, the non-Kohanim have to face the Kohanim as well. Sometimes you see, as a Kohen, you hear of non-Kohanim who are so scared of looking at the Kohanim's hands that they turn around. But that's not right. And Rashi says, Panim keneged panim. It's meant to be a conversation. It's meant to be between people. Okay, so four basic dinim of how you're going to carry out, three basic dinim, how you're going to carry out the actual giving the bracha. You're going to say it in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh. At the same time, Amor Lehem means number two, B'kol Ram. Number three, Panim Keneged Panim. And finally, number four, as the Torah describes it in Parsha Shmini, by Yisa Aron, as Yadav. Has to be b'nesias kapayim. As a matter of fact, it means your hands are upraised, your palms. As a matter of fact, sometimes we call it, rather than Birkas Kohanim, nesias kapayim. What nesias kapayim means in general terms is your hands are out, at least horizontal, if not a little higher, and your hands are at least shoulder height, with palms down. That's the most basic sense of nesias kapayim. Not with your hands apart, not up in the air, and not your hands pointing down, at least shoulder height or a little bit above shoulder height, with palms down. That's the basics. Ideally, Shulchan Aruch quotes from, and later posts and quote from Rishonim, both Nigla and Nister, that ideally you want to have your fingers like this. The Rosh Rush quotes from an earlier medrash that you want to have five windows. You create five windows where you have your fingers away. You usually assume Kohanim have, but here's a little twist. Now everyone's aware of. You have your addition to separating between the third and fourth finger on both sides. You also bend your thumbs and touch the thumb knuckles together. It's a little hard to show this and count at the same time. But here's one window between on the right hand between those two fingers. The next window is between the pointer and the thumb. The third window is in the middle. That's what you gain by having your thumb knuckles together. And then four and five. There are the Rush quotes from earlier Medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described poetically in Shir HaShirim as Meitzis Min HaCharakim. Even when we can't tell that he's watching us, even when he's not Mashgiach Min HaChalonos, if you're up on the Mirpeset looking down at the guys in the AstroTurf, they look up, they see you. That's Mashgiach Min HaChalonos. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking out the window, and so to speak, we could see him seeing us. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meitzis Min HaCharakim, peeking between the cracks. We don't see him. If you're looking through a crack in the wall, so they can't see you, but you're still watching. They just can't notice that you're watching. But Rav is always watching. Sometimes it's obvious to us, and sometimes it's inobvious, but he's still meitzis min acharakim. So the Rosh is based on a medrash. We make a remez to that in meitzis min hei charakim. We have, so to speak, peeking out from five windows. So that's why you have, ideally, your hands like this, and the post can write with the right hand slightly above the left hand. So you have the thumb knuckles are touching, but instead of exactly even like that. But again, those are added minhagim that are important to keep. The basic din that's required is that your arms are outstretched, at least shoulder height, not a little higher, and knuckles up, palms down. So those are the four basic din of how you duchen. The process of duchening, you're saying the words b'lashon HaKodesh, you're saying the words loud enough everyone can hear, you're facing the tzibur and they're facing you, and your hands are outstretched. I think the Shechter quotes from the Gra that part of the symbolism of that is relates to what we said before about bracha. Like when one of the traditional pastors in Tanakh for tefillah with their hands outstretched with palms up. And many sardim put their hands out like that, but Pesach is Adecha. And so to demonstrate that I'm looking to receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brachas. And the Kohanim, we are the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu charged the Kohanim with presenting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha to Klal Yisrael. So that's why our hands are facing down, symbolizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give bracha to Klal Yisrael. Okay, and now, so that was part two of three. Part one, we laid out some of the concepts, the relationship to tefillah and the tension of Kosev of Aruch Hu versus Amar Lehem. Number two, we spoke about the basic deen and number of the basic deen of how the actual Birkas Kohanim is given, Lashon HaKodesh, Kol Ram, Panam Keneged Panam, and Nesias Kapayim. And finally, let's spend a couple minutes just talking through the process. So you start with the Tehillat Sedayim. That's a necessary preparation for Duchening, and it's important, very important to know. And Magen Avraham quotes from Zohar and elsewhere, ideally, you have a lady wash your hands, if not, you have a Bechor, if not, no one available, just do it yourself. That's Liyasar Se'es. It is absolutely required that you do have Netilas Adayim, whoever it is that's doing it, or you're doing it yourself, and Netilas Adayim, Ikra Adin has to be until the wrist. This is important. Netilas Adayim, the Gemara says Netilas Adayim for bread is up until here, and Netilas Adayim for the Kohanim is one joint further. So the Machlokas, Rashi and Tosas, whether... Where is the Netilas Adayim for bread? Is that to the knuckles where the fingers meet the palm, or is that the wrist? So we're machmir, ideally, to do all Netilas Adayim until the wrist. But if you hold that Netilas Adayim until the wrist, then the Kohanim Beis HaMikdash were washing until their elbows. So we're not machmir for that, and maybe the Meir Banim Beis HaMikdash, we'll see what Sanhedrin says. We're not machmir to wash the elbows by Birkas Kohanim, but washing to the wrist is not a chumrah. Washing to the wrist for duchening is Ikra Din. Even on Yom Kippur and even on Tisha B'av. You wash Negavaser, Yom Kippur and Tisha B'av, so we say, we're not going to be machmir to the wrist, just go to the knuckles. But for duchening, sometimes you have to remind the Levim. For duchening, even on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'av, and every day, it has to be up until your wrist. No halfway across the palm. That's absolutely not acceptable. You may want to roll up your ritzuas a little more if you're worried about that. You may want to take off your watch if you're worried about that. If you want to make it clear to the lady or do it yourself, The Nefilas Daim absolutely has to be until the wrist. You take off your shoe. I'll practice to take off the shoes. If you have lace-up shoes, remember you're going to want to at least untie the laces before Nefilas Yadayim. You can kick them off before or after. That's a matter of personal preference. An important point the post can make in terms of where you take off your shoes, ideally it should not be in the front of the shul. Ideally it's more covered for Beis HaKnesses to hide your shoes, meaning, which usually means, as they say, where you hide your shoes, so that's tachas ha-safsalam, under the benches or under your chair. So ideally, you take off your shoes at your seat. It could be after you wash, before you wash, whatever you want, but leave your shoes tucked underneath your chair and then go up to Duchen, or else, you know, when you get up to the front, it's hard for everyone to hide their shoes. So that's ideal to leave your shoes tachas ha-safsalam. Now, we mentioned before the connection, I said we would come back to it, the connection to Korban. That Pasuk in Shemini tells us about Nesias Kapayim and puts in the context of Korban, so that's why the Karen Ora, I think it's the Karen Ora, one of the Achronim on Sota, who explains that that's why the Gemara insists that you need to have, there has to be a connection to the Bracha of Ritzei. If you didn't even start walking up to the Duchan, by the time the Shliach Tzibur finishes the Bracha of Ritzei, you're out. What do you mean? But Modim, is he taking plenty of time for Modim? I run up? No. Why? Why is Ritzei so important? Because Bechlal, Ritzei is a curious bracha. We just said Shomea Tfila during the week, which is asking Hashem to accept our Tfila. Then we say another bracha, asking Hashem to accept our Tfila. Why the redundancy? The answer is Shomea Tfila is asking Hashem to accept our Tfila. Ritzei is asking Hashem to accept our Tfila as a carbon. And that's really the most direct connection to Tfila in general, is connected to Karbanos, but most directly by Ritzei. So that's why the Ritzei, Karen Ora seems to suggest, almost like the Matir, to, we need the Ritzei in order to be able to Duchen. That's the connection to Karban Tzibur. That's the connection to Karbanos, and specifically to Karban Tzibur. So that's why either you're already up there by Ritzei, or you walk up there by Ritzei, or you at least start walking by Ritzei. Let's say if you're, you know, the Chazan was moving quickly, and you were had long Shemana Esrei, you should at least take some steps forward during Ritzei. Even if it means, Mamzrak, last minute, you can take some steps forward and then run and wash your hands and then go back up. It has to be at least, either you're already there for Ritzei, or there's some motion towards the Duchan over the course of Brach Ritzei. That is Li'ikuva. Once you get up there, you'll be covered with a talus. That's not Medin de Gemara, but the Beis Yosef quote says Minig is already over 500 years old. Come cover the hands with a talus. So that really, strictly speaking, allows the Yisraelim to look. And I think, I believe Rabbi Schechter does, because he feels that that's the ideal panim k'neged panim. If the Kohanim cover their hands anyways, so open your eyes, don't cover your head with a talus, that the Yisraelim should just look. Now there are different practices of how exactly you cover, because the Kohanim also ideally shouldn't see their hands. So either you don't see your hands by closing your eyes, or, what's even better, you should also have your eyes open and drape the talus, pull the talus far enough forward that it could drape sort of across your hands a little bit and down. So the vertical hang in the front is shielding the Yisraelim from your hands, shielding your hands from Yisraelim, and the horizontal cover allows you to keep your eyes open also. It takes a little practice. Usually the first couple times you do that, the towel ends up on the floor. That's all embarrassing. But there are some, or you use diagonal, so you use the corner a little longer. Figure it out. With the different approach in terms of when the Kohanim turn around, like I said, before the Duchening, you really should covered HaTorah would call for facing the Aron Kodesh. So different practice, different Rishitas we show in terms of when you swivel around to the Am. So our practice is by around by Vitzivanu, you start facing the Aron Kodesh, and by around Vitzivanu, you already have your hands out Nizis Kapayim before you even begin the Bracha. And Vitzivanu, you complete your proper posture by swiveling around, I believe ideally to the right, called Pina Shatabon Yuel Elimin. And then the Gemara has a lot of specific traffic rules in terms of everyone is supposed to wait for everyone else. So what's supposed to happen is the Shliach Tzibur finishes the bracha Tov Shemuchal Nel Hodos. If you're the only Kohen, you start your bracha right away, Baruch Atah Hashem. If there's more than one Kohen, you wait for the Gabbai to call Kohanim, and then after Kohanim, you start your bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Asher Gishon, Victor Shasar Shal Aharon. We should be zochah soon to say more brachas with that nusach when we eat the karbanas and when we eat truma also. Sher Kedushan, Victor Shasar Shal Aharon, the Chel Kakonim in karbanas. And then really, sometimes our Shef Tzibur doesn't know this, but he's supposed to wait for you to finish, you're supposed to wait for him to finish. He says, Yivarechacha, let him finish, and then you say, Yivarechacha. He lets you finish, and then he says, Hashem. And the same with Yamein, everyone waits for everyone else. And then you don't turn back around until he starts Sim Shalom. The Nikra Din, you could walk down sooner than many of us walk down. Certainly Ashkenazim and Chutzlars tend to wait on Yom Tif to leave the Duchen until after Kaddish Shalom is over, unless you're also the Makri on Rosh Hashanah, in which case you gotta hop over in the middle to the Bima to be Makri the last Tkiyas. But Nikra Din, you could definitely certainly walk down after Sim Shalom is over, and that's what happens in Eretz Yisrael, particularly since during the week you're going to Tachanun, you're going to take on Sefer Torah, a lot going on. In terms of the added tefillos, so if you Ashkenaz Mechutzar is only duchen once in a while, 13 times a year or so, then the Gemara says, if a person had a bad dream and is really worried about it, so it's a particular auspicious shish daven, and a particular auspicious time to daven, I don't understand the sod behind it, the Gemara says, particularly b'shas Birkas Kohen. So in Eretz Yisrael, or Sfaradim in Chutzlar, it's duchen every day. So shame, if you happen to have a bad dream, so you'll say the tefillah. Ashkenazim and Chutzlar, it's only duchen once in a long while, so who remembers what you dreamt over the last couple months? So we always, that's sort of like built in. Always say the tefillah, and that's why the Kohanim pause and sing, to give some downtime for those tefillos to happen. Just a word about Chutzlar, So I don't think it's an Eretz Yisrael Chutzlaretz split. What it is that there was the Chachmei Ashkenaz developed this idea that Duchen is limited, that Bizman Hazeh, we should limit Duchen to Yom Tif, and they came with various reasons why. Sfaradim do not accept that minhag, neither did the Gra. The Gra was Ashkenazi, he felt that we should go back to the Dinah Gemara and Duchen every day. He did not succeed. And he attempted unsuccessfully to introduce that minhag in Vilna. And I think what happened is that the Ashkenazi community in Eretz Yisrael was built on Talmidei Hagra. There are a number of minhagei Hagra which are universal among Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael, like not saying Baruch Hashem Li'olam and not saying Vayechulu before Shmoneh Esrei Friday night. So I think this is just another one of those minhagei Shitas Hagra that became universal, that we duchen every day. I don't think it's a chiluk between Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlars per se. It's just that Chutzlars follow the Kehilas of Chutzlars follow the Ramah, and the Kehilas in Eretz Yisrael, even the Ashkenazi Kehilas in Eretz Yisrael, follow the Gra. Shetaki bizochem, samua shemiyah b'nei Yisrael v'aniyah v'archeim. The Gemara says that means two things. On the one hand, we're supposed to give the brach, we're supposed to say the brach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'aniyah v'archeim, who they? I will bless them. So them is the Kehilas of Yisrael. Shem says that we go through the actions of Birkas Kohen, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will power it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will indeed give grand brach to Klal Yisrael. And it's also Aniyah Varchem, Hashem says, I will bless the Kohenim. HaMavarech Misbarech. Shitak to be Zohar to be vehicles for bringing Hashem's brach to Klal Yisrael, and we should receive brach as well. Bless you, Hashikayach. Looking forward to Duchen together tomorrow.
A couple questions.
Sure.